I want you to turn once again with me to the first epistle of John. We're going to look at another verse here. We saw it this morning, but it's a different verse than what we were speaking about this morning. It's in chapter 1. Chapter 1 is just a short chapter, but a very full chapter, and a lovely chapter indeed. And the verse which the Lord, I believe, had laid on my heart, even as I was preparing the motto text, is verse 7. But if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light. I want to try, if I can tonight, to speak about the blessings of walking in the light. And that's my subject tonight, and may the Lord be pleased to bless it to each one of us here and challenge our lives so that we ourselves may be those who walk in the light. Let me begin by saying that this book has some very unique features. The first one really would be that it probably is the last epistle that was actually written, together with the second John and also the third John as well, which are just small chapters almost in your Bible, but probably it's the last book that's written. And men take great care to preserve the words of people when they speak in their last. The second thing I think that you'll have to say about this particular book, it's not addressed to anyone. It's the only book in perhaps the New Testament or epistle in the New Testament that's not addressed to anybody itself. Two John and three John certainly are, but this first John is not addressed to anyone. In fact, we're all included in this particular epistle, of course. The third thing is that it uses what may be termed as a spiral fashion. That's a phrase that Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a great preacher in London, not so long ago, used to speak about, a spiral fashion. In other words, beginning on the outside and going down smaller circles, smaller circles, smaller circles, and it comes to its objective. You see, Paul was very direct in what he actually said. But this is not direct, it's indirect. It may be even regarded by some as being mystical, though we wouldn't use that word for it. But nevertheless, there is a mystery about some of the things that you have here until you get right down into the very centre of the argument itself. You'll obviously know that this was written by John, and John was the beloved disciple, as he's described in his own gospel. He's a changed man, wasn't he? He's a man that wanted to call down fire from heaven upon people and consume them. His temper or his demeanour and his attitude was such that you would have thought he definitely needs to be changed. And he was, of course. And he becomes the beloved one. He becomes the one who wrote, of course, the book of Revelation as well. And so he's perhaps on the second on the list of how much he actually wrote of the New Testament. Here's a man who probably, as the commentators would say, is about 89 years of age. He's been through lots of experiences. This is after the experience he had on the Isle of Patmos and so on. He's now 89. And you can imagine that what he wants to say, it comes out of his very heart of experience. And he does so, of course, as we will see ourselves. What's the theme of the book? It's always good when you read through a book to try and find the theme of it. And there is always a theme in a book. And it seems to me that the theme in this book is Christians' privileged possessions in this particular world. And I think that you'll see that. He speaks about fellowship, and we'll talk about that. He speaks about joy, that wonderful gift which God alone can give. He speaks about peace, a peace which passeth understanding. He speaks about being anointed, and it reminds us of how the Lord works himself and anoints men and women. He speaks about knowledge. If you go through this book and you mark in your Bible the times it says know or knowledge, you'll find it really interesting indeed. Now here's another privileged possession. It's walking in the light. This is a privilege for Christians, for those who have been born again of the Spirit of God, those who have been washed in the precious blood of Jesus, those who know what it means to be really converted, they're walking in the light. And there's nothing greater than that. They're not in darkness anymore. No, they walk in the light. In 1938, that goes back some time, doesn't it? I remember it well. In 1938, there was a great revival in Rwanda. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that now. But in 1938, the United Kingdom held an Empire exhibition. It was held in Belhuston Park in Glasgow. They had a very special display there concerning the Bible. And the Bible was left open, and the Gospels and tracts were given out to thousands and thousands of people who came from all over the world. There was a main kiosk where the Bible was open at John chapter 8. And it was open, and one text was underlined so that people would read it. And it was, "I am the light of the world." It was underlined in red. And then underneath that, there was this: "The only way out of the darkness." The only way out of the darkness. My, that was something else, wasn't it? There was an exhibition in London. I don't think we'd even be able to get a kiosk in such a manner and leave the Bible open at that sort of thing. But we want to try, if I can tonight, to speak about the blessings of walking in the light. I wonder tonight, Christian, or perhaps you're not a Christian, but the challenge to you as well is this: are you walking in the light? Are you experiencing the blessing of God that God can give to those who walk in the light? That's the message. That's the burden of the message, that you may realize that there's something more, that there's something deeper, there's something greater, grander, and it's walking in the light. So first of all, let's consider this requirement. It's a requirement which each one of us recognize. And it's a requirement which, if you read your Bible at all, you'll know, of course, that we need to comply with. The requirement to walk in the light. Oh, that we may understand this. The verb of this sentence really describes the Christian activity. The word walk is used many times, of course, in Scripture. And in the New Testament, perhaps it's the main way of describing the Christian life. We're walking from earth to heaven. We're walking from time to eternity. We're walking towards a lost eternity or an eternity gained, because we've trusted in the blood of Jesus himself. First of all, let me speak to you about the meaning of this. Light, it seems to me, is associated with knowledge. And that's what it means. You see, the word really means something like this. It means clearness or purity, holiness, free from the darkness of sin and from the guilt and the shame. You see, this was the motto of the Rwanda revival. And that revival went on, in fact, for some considerable time. And in 1960 to 1980, it reached its height in Rwanda, as it was named then. Groups gathered together, sometimes small groups and sometimes large groups. They would repent of their sins. And there was a brokenness among them. The tears would flow freely. There was a conviction that they must repent of their sins and turn away from their sins and turn in to God. And those who came always were called those who are walking in the light. And they would ask each other, "Are you walking in the light today? Are you walking in the light?" We don't ask each other that sort of thing, do we? But perhaps we should. And perhaps it would be something good for us to do. Are you really walking in the light? Answer yourself. This speaks about close fellowship with God, living in the light of God's word, living in the light of God's will, living in the light of God's work. This is speaking about conviction. It speaks about that repentance that they had so long ago. It talks about turning Christ in the heart and living for his glory and for his will. Are you living and walking in the light? Did you notice in the reading that Paul read to us, and I'm thankful to his help this evening, there's a mistake, and so this is my second subheading. First of all, this is the meaning. The meaning is the light associated with knowledge. And now we come to the mistake. Let me read again verse 6. and you'll see what I mean. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And then in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. When we read these words, I wonder what we think about, actually. I'll tell you what we should think about. And there are people who deceive themselves and deceive others as well. They're resting upon a false trust. They're making a claim. We say. We say. What does it mean? We say we have fellowship with him, but it's not true. And then we go on. If we say we have no sin, we say, making a false claim. Have you done that? My friend, there's many people who come to church and make a false profession and say that they believe. They'll sing the hymns, they love them. They'll carry their Bible because it looks good. They'll come week by week, but they're not really saved. And they come to the end of their lives and they realize they haven't got salvation. They haven't really got what it really takes. They're not walking in the light. The mistake, profession and practice, living a lie. They're still in the darkness of this world. They're still under the powers of darkness. You will know, of course, that light and darkness cannot exist together. It's impossible. If you have a dark place and then you put a light in it, the darkness must disappear, mustn't it? And that's the same with our lives as well. And you can go on and read about the darkness in this particular book and see how many times it mentions the darkness. Why? Because there were people like that in John's day. And there are people like that in our day as well. If the Lord came tonight and stood at the front here and said, you're walking in the light and you're not, where would you stand? Where would you stand? Let me go on and speak about the marks of walking in the light. I suppose it's difficult in a certain sense, but you can go through this book and you will see so many signs, so many statements concerning those who are walking in the light. They have a desire after God. Just like the psalmist, as a heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee. A desire after God. Have you ever seen a dog pant like that? What about a heart? They do the same. And have you recognized what it means? But do you get that about that God? Or is it just religion as far as you're concerned? They have a delight in the word. God's word is wonderful, says a chorus. And so it is. It's wonderful. Does the word of God mean so much to you that you never miss a day whereby you read your reading and you study your word of God? So because you delight in the word, what has God to say to me today? And you look and you believe God is going to speak to you. And you mark it maybe in your Bible because God has spoken to you. You're walking in the light. There's a determination to do God's will. We thought about that this morning. And what a text that text really is. It's so important we understand it. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth what? The will of God. The will of God. How important it is. There's a devotion to prayer. They believe in prayer. They believe God answers prayer. Oh, that we may have that confidence. And there's a dedication for the lost. We live in a lost world. We live in a world which is going to hell. Could you imagine those people falling off the cliff and their bodies are being mangled down below on the rocks? Could you imagine in your mind that you could tell them there's another way? So that they should escape eternal punishment. Oh, that we may understand what I'm trying to say tonight. Have you got a desire, a dedication for the lost? Do you believe in salvation for others as well as yourself? An explorer went to Africa years ago and hired natives to go through the jungle for him. And so he had enough and they went through the jungle. And he pushed them every day. They would say, we must stop here. And they said, no, you've got to go further, you've got to go further. And so that every day they went. One morning, he woke up early and went to his natives to carry his goods and so on. Another step, and they would not. They sat there. He said, "What's wrong with you? Why won't you do it? Why won't you do that?" And one came to him and said, "They've stopped to let their souls catch up with their bodies." Do you understand that? You see, we could have done that over this Christmas time. So busy and going here, there and everywhere. We haven't had time really to read the Bible. We haven't had really time to meet in prayer. We haven't had time to speak about our spiritual things. We haven't fed. We haven't been watered by the Word of God. And because of that, we have to stop for a moment. Let our souls catch up with our bodies. Walking in the light. That's the requirement. And then I want to speak to you concerning the reason. Why is this verse in the Word of God? Let me try to show you if I can. In verse 5 it says this, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all." God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. You see, this speaks about many things. First of all, it speaks about the character of God. It doesn't say he has a light. It doesn't say he gives a light. But he is light itself. The very embodiment of life is him. And every light comes from him. I think it's important to know what God is like. We worship him, but what is he like? We serve him, but what is he like? We obey him, but what is he like? We love him, but what is he like? One day we believe that we'll be with him, but what is he like? What is God like? Well, I'm not going to go into theological terms. I just want to ask the question so that we understand what God is and who God is himself. The atheist says there is no God and walks away. The agnostic says, yes, there is a God, but he's unknowable. The idolater says there are many gods, sometimes the days of the week. Our very names of the days of the week came from gods that they worshipped in times past. Many people worship the sun, don't they? And they worship the moon and maybe other things as well. Man makes gods according to his own image. But the Bible gives us a clear answer. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is love. All love comes from God himself. God is life. The very life that we live comes from God. We know that. And again, God is light. God is light. Verse 5 again, which says, "This is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you," as if this is the most important thing. And so it is, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Oh, that we may understand exactly what that really means. You'll remember what Psalm 27 says. It's a lovely psalm. I love it. And it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." The Lord is my light. How can the Lord be my light? Well, the Bible gives us a plain, clearly concerning that. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16, "Who only hath immortality dwelling in light." God's very dwelling is in light constantly. There's no darkness at all in him. And that's a wonderful verse. James 1 and verse 17, we quote some of it sometimes when we're taking up the offering. "The Father of who lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." There's no shadow there because there's no darkness there whatsoever. Once again, the word means clearness, it means openness, it means transparency. We could speak about it physically. It means the glory which comes from him when he appears. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, we read that wonderful word, "Let there be light." And there was light. Remember the tabernacle and the wonderful ark that was in the holiest of all. That's where the Shekinah glory was. The very glory of God. And when God was there, The very Shekinah glory was there. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? When he came into this world, the apostle says, we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father. Intellectually, it's the knowledge of God. The very knowledge of God. You ask me, how can I explain it? It's the knowledge of God. Psalm 36 and verse 91 says, in thy light we see light. And it's only in the light of God that we can ever see the light we're talking about here tonight. Morally, this light speaks about righteousness and holiness and purity and completeness. Completeness itself. We read about Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. What does it mean to walk with God? Oh, it's something perhaps we don't fully understand. But listen, it's our text. It's our text, because our text says that if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light. Where is the light? God is light. So we will walk with God. Enoch walked with God. He walked in the light. And he went through this world in the light. In the light of the very presence of God. Oh, that tonight we may understand what that really means and come close to the Lord himself, confess our sins and ask the Lord to cleanse us from our iniquities and to make us to be what he wants us to be every moment of every day. What we've looked at tonight is simply concerning this reason is the character of God. And then we've looked ourselves at other things as well, of course, as we consider just what it really means. But notice this, the conduct here as well. We're talking about something akin to the sun. And you'll know that the Word of God, on at least two occasions that come to my mind, speaks of that itself, that he is the sun. He's a sun and a shield to them that trust him. And of course, it's when he shall arise with healing in his wings. It's the sun that arises with healing in his wings. It's like the sun. It brings happiness and it brings joy and honour as well. I want you to turn with me to a scripture which I think is a lovely scripture. It's in Esther, the book of Esther. So come to the before the Psalms and you'll find the book of Esther, not too far forward past that. But if you go back to this book, we're just going to look at one verse here. Chapter 8 and verse 16. Chapter 8 and verse 16. Very short verse, but nevertheless tells us something. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honour. But what did they have first? Light. Jews had light. What sort of light did they have? Was it the character of God? Was it the blessing of the Lord? I think it was. And certainly it was the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God brought light and gladness and joy and honour. And that's what it always does bring. We think about the sun, as we've spoken here tonight, and we understand just what that really means. It brings happiness, it brings joy, and it brings honour as well. Oh, that you and I might have that ourselves. We know that the sun, when it shines with its great lights, has a healing power. It brings favour to our lives. It brings life to our souls. It brings cleansing, even in the air that we breathe. And we know it brings revelation. It reveals things. Nothing can stand before the sun and try to hide. It shows everything. Tell me, are we living in the shadow or are we living in the sunshine? Are we walking with God or are we walking with the world, the flesh and the devil? Are we walking in the light or are we walking in the darkness, as this has been indicated here in these scriptures? The last thing I want to speak about tonight is a result. We've seen something tonight of the requirement that we must walk in the light. We've seen something of the reason and the reason for it. But what about the result? What about the result? You know, there are three blessings that are mentioned in our text. Wonderful blessings which every man, every woman, every person in this congregation tonight need themselves. Here they are. Let's pick them out in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My friend, we have three blessings. I want to try and show them to you. First of all, we have communion. Communion with God. We go back to verse 6 to understand this fully. If we say that we have no fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Fellowship. The word is used there, fellowship. Fellowship with God. Surely this must be the greatest experience outside of heaven itself. That a man here, even though he's sinful, he can come to the Lord and receive forgiveness of sins and have fellowship with God. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that wonderful? Have you had fellowship with God today? We're talking about being in touch with God, in touch with eternity, in touch with heaven. Can I understand that? Can I believe it? But that's what the Word of God says. This whole chapter is about fellowship. And this fellowship with God, first of all, it's like a triangle. God is at one point, others are at another point, and we're at the other point. If one of those sides of the triangle is broken, the whole triangle is broken down. It's of no use, of no value whatsoever. But first of all, it must be fellowship with God, communion with God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. My, how much money is it worth? But you can't buy it with money, can you? It's not something you can purchase off the shelf. It's not something others can give you. It's only what the Lord gives you. And that's fellowship with himself. You can kneel and pray. You can pray as you walk. You can pray in your car. You can pray all the time. You can be in fellowship with God every moment of every day. Mr. Spurgeon, who I often love to quote, says that for 25 years he's been in unbroken fellowship with the Lord. I believe him because of who he was and what he used to say. But imagine that. Are you in fellowship with God tonight, or is there some sin, something that stops you? Communion. And then there's care. Care, because our verse in the second part here speaks about fellowship one with another. That fellowship which I enjoy with God, I can now express to others and be in fellowship with them. The care that we can have with each other, the love that we can express to one another. There's none of this in the world. People don't understand what this really means. This is unity and love, a true unity together. I can go to foreign parts, which I have done, and I can speak to men and women there who've had the same experience of conversion that I have. And that you have as well. What's happened? It's God at work in the hearts and lives and souls of men and women. Do you enjoy that? Do you understand it? It's walking in the light. That's what it is. Again, to quote Mr. Spurgeon, he said this, perhaps facetiously, he said he'd rather spend eternity with some Christians than spend half an hour with them here on earth. Why is that? Because of all the crotchiness and all the sins which go on in churches. And we don't want that, do we? We want this fellowship which is a Bible word, a fellowship where we give to each other and we receive from each other and we enjoy each other's company and we enjoy being in fellowship together. Thank God for the fellowship that we enjoy in this church that we are in. And then the third blessing perhaps is greater than all, but how can it be? Fellowship with God, communion with God, care and fellowship with others. Is there something greater than that? Well, let's read it. The last part of verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Is there a greater promise in the Word of God? Is there something more marvellous than this? That the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth me from all sin. And the verse really tells us about two cleansings. It's first of all an initial cleansing. An initial cleansing, coming to Christ and confessing my sin and asking the Lord to cleanse me from my sin. And then after that, what happens? Oh, I still sin. Yes, I still go astray. But there's a continuous cleansing. Goes on cleansing me from all sin. It's the eye which has a cataract. First of all, the cataract must be removed. And then, after the cataract removed, there's the tear duct. And the tear duct produces that fluid which cleans my eye constantly, day by day, and hour by hour, and minute by minute. Isn't that lovely? Isn't it wonderful? That's what Jesus did when he went to the cross at Calvary. That's what he did when he gave his life for us. That's what he did when he shed his precious blood as an atonement that we might be forgiven, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. My friend tonight, are you walking in the light? It's a lovely text, isn't it? But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us and goes on and cleanses us from all sin. Oh, I'm so pleased about this verse. I'm so thrilled with it because it means me. With all my sin and all my shame and all my guilt, praise God, my sin has been washed away. Oh, people may never forgive and forget, but thank God the Lord does. Cast them behind his back. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. What is better than that? What is greater than that? There's an abbey in Yorkshire. I don't want you to go to the abbey, but there's something that's very interesting. It has three steps to the door to the abbey. As you look there and you see, first of all, there's a very dark step. Dark marble, lovely marble, but it's dark. The next one is red marble, and the next one is white marble. And you go up the steps and then ring the bell to gain admittance. My friend, that's the steps we have to take. We're the sinners that are the dark marble. We know that the sin of our heart is there, but there's a red marble step. That speaks of the blood of Calvary, the blood of God's Son who died upon the cross. And then you see the white marble. White marble is lovely, isn't it? Really is lovely. We've reached the place where our sins are forgiven and God has cleansed us, so that we might go to heaven itself. May God bless his word to us, and I pray that you'll answer indeed the challenge of the word, that we may walk in the light as he is in the light.